Okay, today's daf is Nun Gimel. We're going to start at Nun Bet Amabet, right at the Mishnah. We'll read the Refuot Shlemod. Tavora Batina Oza from Shimon Ben Chana Karipat Imo Orli Penina Baracha Frida Chaim Alkaster Bat Zipporah Daniel Ben Mirim Chayarut Yosef Ben Rachel Leah Bat Rivka Fal Yoshua Falik Ben Bracha Bati Yenta Mirim Bat Chana Rachel and Yael Mirim Bat Chaya. Before we move on to the next mission, I wanted to point out something that came up after class. Pam, who's a family law specialist, was talking after class about the fact that what's interesting is there's no halachic adoption, really. And yesterday's daf was all about, right, it would be a similar issue to dealing with adoption, but more from apitropsut and not from a place of a parent. And what she was pointing out that was interesting to her after learning the daf, you know, generally she's been on the side of saying, you know, how could we not have and even in this country, there were no real adoption laws until 1980. And that it seems very strange because, you know, you would want protection of the child. And what she was saying that after learning the sugya, that there was almost, she saw a different perspective that not having an adoption law, and particularly having people function as apitropsim, is actually somewhat more protective of the child. Because here we had all these laws about how the apitropos has to be held to a certain standard and can't make decisions for the child that they think is best, maybe, but may not be in the best interest of the child. Whereas once you go into adoption law, and then the parent is an adoptive parent, then they can make decisions for the child regardless of any, you know, they can make decisions about the child's money because all the child's money becomes basically theirs. And then they can, you know, if they make mistakes, they make mistakes, and too bad for the child. So what she said was that, in a sense, this sugya was sort of protecting the children's financial rights more so than a parent would have to be held to a certain standard. So something I thought worth pointing out. Yeah.
There's a world movement altogether to change apitropsut, but that's a whole hour unto itself.
Okay. What is that? A world movement to change apitropsut, what does that mean?
That rather than giving an apitropos full authority to do what they want, they have to provide, just changing the perspective, they have to provide them with more tools in order to help the person they're taking care of to decide.
So you're saying they need like a more training of how to...
independence to whoever they're...
to allow the apitropos to have more independence, you're saying?
No, sorry.
The person who's being cared for.
Uh-huh.
The child.
The child should have more independence.
The child should be able to make more independent decisions,
even if they're a katan. You're saying from a halachic perspective or
from a modern legal perspective
to allow minors to make decisions.
Is still alive,
the idea? Of apitropsu? I assume so. I assume there is. What was interesting was that Pam was saying that this country, because there is no Jewish law of adoption, so until 1980 there was no legal adoption. There were no laws about it. And only, you know, in the 1980s did they start making laws about it. And still, it's not where it should be, according to what she was saying. So, anyway, something to look into. We'll leave it at that. You can ask Pam after class.
Adults who aren't independent, who can't be.
Right.
Like, when my handicapped daughter became 18, I had to become her legal guardian. I had to go through a legal process. And I have to, and by the way, it was interesting you were talking about Batei Din versus the father who appoints them, that I have to do annual reports to the to the state.
Interesting. So if you're a legal guardian of someone, then you have to,
give them
legal reports to the state
basis.
On, interesting.
Because
the
parent.
No, because she's the legal guardian.
If I have a parent, is no longer relevant.
Right. Once the child turns 18, and the child can no longer be on
the shvua, right?
Right.
If you're appointed by the father,
that's appointed by the father. But this is right. This is even appointed by you. Right. You appointed yourself.
If I appointed myself, I wouldn't feel threatened. But you know what? When I get that letter from the state, I get threatened.
Uh huh.
Because I have to give a whole financial statement about what I've been doing with our money.
That's very interesting.
And so when I stop, and then I say, what do I do? Literally the same.
The same issues come up about being a legal guardian for an older child.
Why do I bother with this, and why do I have to swear to it or anything? Maybe, you know, because.
Right. Okay. So just in case anyone couldn't hear on the tape, I'm going to. So what Naomi's pointing out is that if you're a legal guardian for an older child who's handicapped, can't fend for themselves, so you have to report to the state legally in order to say that Now Pam came in.
You're managing
the money properly, and that you have to give an accountant to the state, even though you're the parent, because once the child turns 18, you become the legal guardian and not the parent anymore, and then you're judged.
It's totally irrelevant.
Right, it's totally irrelevant that you're the parent. So, okay, we're going to move on.
Yeah. Katan is still age 13.
Right. Also, halachically, a katan is still age 13. In the legal law, I assume a katan is 18, Pam, is that right?
Yes.
A minor would be 18 in terms of financial obligations. Okay. Sorry, you missed it. We were trying to repeat what you had said yesterday. Okay. Mishnah. Hamitamea v'hamidamea v'haminasech. Okay, let's say, and now we're getting into another topic. Again, we keep moving from topic to topic. Kind of makes getting interesting. We keep jumping as opposed to sticking for way too long in one issue. Here we're really jumping around. The whole topic of today's shir is going to be hezek she'eno nikar. We've talked about this before. It's damage that's not noticeable. Like if you're metame my food, so my food looks the same whether it was metame or not. There's no way to know whether you were metame my food or not. So there's a whole debate about whether non-noticeable damage is considered damages or not. We're going to see the ramifications of, you know, what you would say. So if you're metame someone else's food, or, now what happens if you're metame their food, right? We're talking about taharot. Okay, Rashi says like truma. Now there's two issues. One is for the kohen, who only eats, right? First of all, if you're metame the truma, then it has to be burned. Now there is, you could still use it to burn something, like you could use it for your flame. But for the most part, it's not so usable. Or there's the prushim, if you remember, eight al taharat hakodesh, right? The eight chulin as treated them as kodesh. So also, it would mess up people like that. So if you're metameh, or you're midameh, what's midameh? Where you mix truma and chulin, okay? Now, what happens to that food? So first of all, this happened to me once. I was mafresh my challah. And then it accidentally got mixed up back into the mixture. Okay?
Story.
Yes. So what do you do in that case, right? So there's all sorts of, you know, that's called dimua. You've basically mixed up truma and chulin, or challah and chulin in that purpose. Okay? Now, if it's 1 to 100, the ratio, okay, now that you have 100 of the chulin, keneged, one, you have 101 basically, and it's only 1 out of 100, you know, 1 out of 100 of the challah, then it's batel. Okay, but here we're talking about a case where it's not batel, it's more than that. There's more of a shear of the challah or the truma in the mixture. So that the whole thing becomes usher, okay, for someone who can't eat truma, let's say it's truma. What do you have to do? You can sell it to the Kohen, b'dmei truma. Okay, what do? You say to the Kohen, first of all, if you have more than one of, like, if you have that ratio where it cancels out, you have to just retake, you say the whole thing is canceled, you retake the truma, or the challah, whatever it might be, and then you can use the rest of it. But if it's not batel, then you have to sell the rest to the Kohen for a lower price. You sell it for, you know, he'll buy it off of you, but since he knows you're the only one who can buy it, you know, you generally don't get a great price for it. That's dimua. Minasech, okay, we're going to see what minasech exactly is, but minasech sounds like somebody took the wine, someone else's wine, and worshipped it up to Avodah Zarah, right? Yeh nesech, okay, they brought it to Avodah Zarah. So if you did it b'shogeg, patur. Okay, if it happened b'shogeg, the person who did this is patur. B'mezid, if they did it b'mezid, they're chayav. So now we're going to try to figure out, first we're going to figure out what exactly is this minasech, and then we're going to figure out why you're patur, why you're chayav, what the issue is. Itmar. There's a machloket about this minasech case. Rav amar minasech mamash. It means you actually offered it up to Avodah Zarah, which is a little strange how you did that b'shogeg, but okay. Maybe you didn't know it was usher to do, maybe. Hard to imagine, but yeah. Ushmuel amar me'arev. You mixed up the wine with yei nesech. Okay, now that's more obvious that it's easy to happen, right? There's a non-Jew opened your bottle, which already we consider yei nesech at that point, and then you got your wine mixed, you know, you got someone else's wine mixed up with that wine, and then it became a mixture, a problematic mixture. So now, what's good? Mandamar ma'arev. So if you say it's this mixture, right? My time alo amar minasech. Why didn't he say it's minasech? Amar lecha, he would say to you, minasech kim le b'durabamine. Why does he think that menaseh wouldn't be an issue? Because we have this concept, kim lebe derabba mineh. What does that mean? If you're over on two isurim, okay, and one has a harsher punishment, then you always get the harsher punishment and you don't get the minor punishment. So if your issue is here, two issues. Number one, you offered it up as yayin nesech, and number two, it was someone else's wine. Right? So you messed up their wine. So you wouldn't be chayav in nezek because you'd be chayav, right? You'd be chayav mitah for worshipping avodah zarah. So therefore, you wouldn't be chayav dinei mamonot. And that's why he doesn't think that that's what we're talking about here. Ve'idach, and what does the other guy say? Why does he think it's not kim lebe derabba mineh? And he thinks you would be chayav nezek here. Ve'idach kid Rabbi Yirmiya, because he holds like Rabbi Yirmiya. Amar Rabbi Yirmiya, mish'at hagbaha hu dekana. When he picked up the wine, what happened? He picked up the wine and then he offered it to avodah zarah. Now, kimlay only works when both happen at the exact same moment. But if you first picked up the wine and at that moment you took ownership over someone else's property, and then mitchayev benafshal lo have ad shat nisuach, but you're not chayev mavet until you did the shat nisuach. So you were already chayav for gzela, for kind of taking over this person's wine by taking it, taking ownership over it, and then when you offered it up to avodah zarah, then you became chayav for mavet. So therefore, he holds that you would be chayav dinei mamonot here because you took someone else's wine, and then you'd be chayav in the end because you worshipped it up to avodah zarah. But the beginning of the chiyuv happens, you become responsible at the moment you lift it, and at that point you haven't done the avodah zarah yet. Now we're going to do the flip. Lamanda amar menasech, my time alo amar ma'arev. Why did he say ma'arev? So amar lacha, ma'arev, haynu medamea. It's the same case as dimua. What's dimua? Dimua is a forbidden mixture, right? It's you mix up something mutar with something asur. So if you say that the yayin nesech is a case where you mixed yayin nesech with yayin that was mutar, that's also like dimua. It's the same case as the dimua case. So there's no point to bring the menasech case. That's the exact same thing. So what's the other guy going to say? Why does he think that it is a mixture and yet it's mentioned separately? V'idach, what would the other guy say? Knasahu. Umiknasa lo yalfinan. The whole reason that we have this, this is b'mezid yurchayef, is not mi'ikar adin, it's a knas. Okay, we're going to see, not everybody agrees with this, but he holds that it's a knas. And if it's a knas, now, knas doesn't fall into the typical dinim, right? And if you get fined for something in particular, it's not clear that we'll assume that we're going to fine you for anything else that's similar to it, right? And we can't learn from one knas to the other. Okay? In other words, what's the issue? If you take truma and mix it up with chulin, someone else's stuff, right? You took their chulin and you mixed it up with truma, then you now have to pay a knas for that. That doesn't necessarily mean that you'd have to pay the same knas for yayin nesech that you mixed up with regular wine. So therefore, we have to list them both to tell you that both of them are usher. Both of them you have to pay a knas for. Ulamandi yalik knas, and the one who does learn knasa, one second, knasa miknasa, kol hane lamali. But if you do say, okay, now we're going to see, right? Some people hold you can learn knas from one to the other, and some people hold you can't. So the one who holds you can't, we've explained. But the one who holds you can learn knas, so kol hane lamali. Why do we need all three cases? So it's, or both cases here, right? We're talking about the dimua and the menasech. Tzricha, di'itana mitame. Now they're going to actually say all three, okay? In other words, you could have learned that if you mess up someone's property and made a tame, it would be the same as messing up someone's property that you made it truma, and messing it that you mixed it with truma, and messing up someone's property that you mixed it with yayin nesech. So why do we need all three? De'itana mitame, itruma havamina, mishum dekamafse le legamre. If you just had mitame, what would you have said? The truma, right, mitame, you'd be chayav, why? Because you messed up his entire thing. You've made it tame. At this point, he can't eat it at all, right? Like the kohen, can't eat the truma. Once truma becomes tame'ah, it's pasul. He can't eat it. Okay, so you might have thought he's mafsila legamre. But imitame chulin, what did we say about dimua? Havamina mishum de kamafsila legamre, but truma, it's not mafsid legamre. What does he do? We talked about it. He sells it to a kohen bidme truma, right? He sells it for a lower price. So it's not like it's a total loss, right? It's only a partial loss. So you might have thought maybe you're not chayav. Ve'imitame chulin, Mishum de asur ligrom tuma lechulin shebe'eretz Yisrael. Ava medamea ema lo. So what do we say? We said, tuma, you're not allowed to because you're mafsid legamre, right? You've messed up this truma, it's totally pasulna. Dimua, now what's the reason? Well, dimua, what happened? You mixed, like I did that case, so I took my challah and I mixed it up with my chulin. So now what happened? I basically, there's this isser of causing tuma to chulin. One second. Imitame chulin. Right, if we had, this is, one second. Imitame chulin. Right, sorry, I forgot. We're still going along the first one. If we're still, we have two options for the tuma. Number one is metame truma, right? In which case it's pasul lagamri. And even if you want to say there's metame chulin, and what are we talking about? Why do we care if you're metame chulin? Because there's these prushim who eat al taharat hakodesh, they eat everything b'tahara, but really they don't have to. So you don't have to throw it out, right? Someone else can eat it. But still, what's the issue? There's an Isser ligrom tuma lechulin to Be'eretz Yisrael. Where does this Isser come from? Because there were so many Prushim who wanted to eat only B'tarat HaKodesh, they made a gzera that you're not allowed to cause tuma to any chulin in Eretz Yisrael. Because the Prushim lived in Eretz Yisrael, that's where they were eating everything al Tarat HaKodesh. So they said you're not allowed to do that. So even if you say there's no financial loss because you can sell it to someone who eats chulin, even if it's Tameh, but still, there's an Isser to do it. And because there's an Isser to do it, so we're going to look at this as a more chamor case than the others. Okay? Aval medamea ema lo. But you might have thought, but dimua, since there's no issue here, right? You mixed up the truma with the chulin. It's not Isser to do that. So you, right? It's just that the whole thing now becomes like truma and it's forbidden to you. Aval medamea ema lo. So therefore, they had to teach you dimua. V'iya shmeina medamea mishum de shachiach. It's very common, okay, this made me feel better, right, when I mixed my challah up with the rest of my dough. So that's a more common occurrence. But for you to dafka be mitameh something, that's not as common. Okay, so you might have thought maybe not. So what if you just had those two cases, and we don't have the third case? Mishum de lo kim le b'derabah mineh. Aval menaseach de kim le b'derabah mineh ema lo. In those two cases, what's similar about them against the third case? That there is no kimle. You haven't been over any other isur midoraita. But minaseach, since you have kimle, maybe you thought you'd be patur. Kamashmalan, and that's why they need to tell you that we hold like Kidder Rabbi Yirmiya, right? That they don't view this as a case of kimle. Because you might have thought, oh, minaseach, it's kimle. He did avodah zarah, so we're going to chayav him avodah zarah, patur him min zikin. But no, it's coming to teach you specifically that third case to teach you that we hold like Rabbi Yirmiya, that because at the moment he already picked it up, he was already makneh, right? It was like he was the gazlan at that point, and therefore he was mechayev nizikin before he was mechayev mavet, and therefore both still apply. So that's why you need all three. Now they're going to have a very similar back and forth, but a little bit different. There's a different braita that has things in a bit of a different order and a bit of a different manner. You'll hear in a minute, and then they're going to say, why is that? Ulahaditani Avua de Rabbi Avim. Barishona, here's a brayta that Avua de Rabbi Avim brought, the father of Rabbi Avim. Barishona hayu omrim. Now we're going to see that this happened in stages. In the beginning, they said, Hamitameh v'hamenasech. Just those two, not the midameh, right? Just the midameh and the menasech, or chayav. Chazru lomar af hamidameh. But then later, they said, even someone who's midameh, he mixes up someone's chulim with truma. So now they say, according to this reading, kol hane lamali. So now we have to do it according to the order. The mitameh and the menasech first, and then the mitameh, as opposed to ours, which was the mitameh and the menasech. You follow? The order is different. Okay? So now they're going to say, di'iash mina mitameh, you might have thought, mishum de lo kim le b'derabah mineh. Aval menasech de kim le b'derabah mineh ema lo. Right? You might have thought just the mitameh because there is no kimle, but the menasech wouldn't be. Therefore, they had to teach you both the mitameh and the menasech. V'iash mina, what if they just told you the menasech, right? Barishona, it was just the menasech. And from there, you would have also learned to the mitameh. So, iash mina menasech, mishum de kamafse le legamre. In the case of the menasech, he's totally destroyed this wine. It's finished. There's nothing you could do with this, right? This was Asr Bahana now, because it's Avodah Zarah. But you might have thought in the Metame case, what's the story? What did we say? You can sell it to a Kohen for a lower price. So you might have thought, that's the Dimua, sorry. The Metame, people can use, right? Just because it's Tame, you can eat it when you're Tame, right? Even if you're a Prushtim who's Makbid to eat it Al Taran HaKodesh, if you're Tame, then you can eat it when you're Tame. Or sell it to someone who doesn't care. V'iyashmin and Hane Tarte, what about those two? Let's say they just had those two and you didn't have the Dimua case. What would you have thought? Mishum dehefse meruba. Aval medamea dehefse muat emalo. Those are both a hefse meruba. But the medamea is only a hefse muat because you can sell it to the Kohen b'dimei truma, right? And therefore emalo. And therefore they say tzricha. That's why we need all the cases. Okay. That's a whole back and forth. A little not as critical as now what we're going to get to, the real issue. Okay? Amar Chizkiah. We're now going to have, you can look at the chart here. Okay, here's where the sheet starts. Basic machloket, Chizkiah and Rabbi Yochanan, but how to understand. I want to go back to the Mishnah for 1 minute. We said the metameh, the menaseh, b'shogeh your patur b'mezid your chayav. So now there's going to be a whole question. Why are you patur for shogeh and chayav b'mezid? And there's going to be two totally different approaches. Okay? With the two approaches you're going to see, okay, first of all, they're dependent on what you view about Hezek She'en Onikar. Is it Nezek? Is it not? And what Dvar Torah is. In other words, what the real Ikar Din is. Okay? And then what the Tikkun Olam is. Because remember, these are all Tikkun Olam cases. So what's the Ikar Din and what's the Tikkun Olam that they did? So two totally different approaches here. Amar Chizkiah, Dvar Torah, Echad Shogeg Bechad Mezi Chayav. Really? The Shogeg and the Mezid should be Chayav. Why? My time up, because Hezek she'ein onikar shmei Hezek. He thinks just because you can't see the Nezek doesn't mean it's not Nezek. You've totally damaged this person's property. It's not the way it was before. So what if you don't see it, right? What if it looks the same because you mix one person's wine with someone else's, or you worship the wine up to Avodah Zarah, or you mix the chulin with the truma, and it all looks the same, but it doesn't matter. You've changed it entirely. It's a totally different thing. So therefore, they really should have been chayav, and now comes in the tikkun olam. Umatam amru b'shogeg patur is a great answer. Kedei sheyodiu. If we say, if you accidentally mess up somebody's stuff, you made it tameh, and you know that if you say something about it, right, what happens? It's not noticeable, right? No one's going to know the difference. So you could just be quiet about it and not say anything because you know that if you say something, what's going to happen? You're going to have to pay. So you just keep quiet about it. Now, if you keep quiet about it, what's going to happen? You're going to mess people up. Because they don't know that now you have this mixture of truma and chulin, and they're going to eat it thinking that it's okay, and it's really not. Or they're going to eat it thinking it's not tame, and it is. So basically, they want to make sure that you tell people what the situation is, so they potured you from the chiyuv of mamoni, so that you'll be honest about it and say what happened. Okay, now the obvious question is going to be, well, ihachi afilu b'mezid nami. So what? We should potter even the mezid, because also the mezid. So what if you did it b'shogeg mezid? That doesn't mean you did it secretly or not secretly, right? Let's say you did it, nobody saw, you're not going to be honest about it. And you did it b'mezid. So now what do they say? This is also a great answer. Hashtala azuke kamchaven odiu lo modale. Obviously, why did he do it b'mezid? He was trying to mess up the person. Well, if he messes up a person and the person doesn't know he messed him up, what's the point? If he really wanted to, he was being mean to the person, he obviously wants the person to know about it. Okay? Right? If you want to purposely mess up somebody's truma, and mix it, someone's chulin, and mix it with truma, so you're obviously going to want them to know, so you're going to tell them. So yeah, in the end, you might have to pay, but right? So it's not necessarily, because you could say you want to mess them up with dine shamayim. Okay? But anyway, the point is, if he's doing something,
we'll tell him later. Right. Tell him right away. Tell him
right
after he does it.
Right.
Tell him
right it away. Could be. Right. It's right. You can argue with this. That's why I said it's interesting. It's interesting to see the way their logic goes. Again, this is always the way the Gemara works, as we well know, is they're pushed into a corner. They're trying to explain something, right? So they have to come up with some explanation. So this is the explanation they come up with. Whether you agree with it or not is a separate question. Okay. For Rabbi Yochanan Amar, the exact opposite. Dvar Torah achad shogeg mecham mezid patur. My time up, because Hezek Shein Onikar, lo shma Hezek, so you shouldn't have to pay even b'mezid. Uma tamaru b'mezid chayav, shalo yehe kol achav achad olecho, mitamei tarotav shal chaviro. Vomer Paturani. Okay, we don't want people to take advantage of the system. If they see they don't have to pay, maybe they'll do it more often. So therefore, we made people chayav, but only when they're mazi, not when they're chayav. Okay. Now we're going to have, okay, you can follow a little bit in the chart also. We're going to have attempts to try to prove Rabbi Yochanan Shita and try to reject Chizkiah Shita. Okay, to basically try to prove that the Hezek She'eino Nikar is not considered Hezek, okay, and knock down the other Shita. So Tanan, here we quote a Mishnah. HaKohanim She'piglu B'mikdash. If a Kohen, what's Pigul, you remember? It's when you give a Korban, when the Kohen sacrifices the Korban, with the wrong Machshava on his head. Okay, he messes up what he's thinking about. Okay, he has Kavanah, and he has the wrong Kavanah. So now, what if a Kohen does this on purpose? He purposely messes up someone's Korban, okay? So, Kohanim Shepiklu B'mikdash, Mizidin Chayavim. They're Chayav if they did it B'mezi. This is a very similar situation, right? Because it's Hezek She'eino Nikar. Nobody sees it. It doesn't make the Korban any different just because your Machshava is different. Halachically, yes, but visually, it doesn't change it. So now, what do they say? V'tane Alan, there's a bright ta'an that Mishnah that says, why is this? Mipnei Tikkun HaOlam. So what does it sound like? You're bemazed, you're chayev only because of Tikkun HaOlam, which makes it sound like Hezek She'eino Nikar, right? V'iyamart Hezek She'eino Nikar, Shmei Hezek, Hai Shogegim Pturim Mipnei Tikkun HaOlam Ibaile. It should have said, B'shogeg your pater because Tikkun HaOlam, right? Because really, you're pacher, right? Really, you're chayav, because Hezek Shenu Nikar is Hezek. And we pachered you b'shoge because of Tikkun HaOlam, just like our Mishnah. That's what it should have said, but that's not what it says. It said b'mezid you're chayav, and then there's a braita on it that says why, right? It seems to give the reason why. I'm saying it seems to, because we're going to now explain it some other way. Seems to give the reason why you chayav b'mezid because of Tikkun HaOlam, which makes it sound like it's not really Nezek, but we're going to make you pay anyway, because you obviously did something wrong. So now what do they say? Oh no, that is the way you should read the Braita. Hachanami kamar, mizidin chayavim. Now what can you infer from there? Ha shogigin pturin. Now from the inference that comes out of that Mishnah, that's what the Braita that came to talk about that Mishnah is talking about. The Braita on it says, why are you only chayav mizid but patur for shogeg? Mipnei tikkun HaOlam. Okay, in other words, you can explain it both ways. You can explain that the Tikkun HaOlam is why you're chayav b'mezid, in which case you would say Hezek She'eino Nikar is not Hezek, but we're only mechayav you midoraita. Or you can read it as, but you're pacher b'shogeg, even though it didn't say it in the Mishnah, but it's inferred from the Mishnah, because the Mishnah only says you're chayav b'mezid. And why are you pachur for shogeg? Because really you should have been chayav, but since you were shogeg in it, we're going to pacher you mishum Tikkun HaOlam. Okay, so therefore it doesn't prove anything. Mativ Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar is now going to ask a question on Chizkiah. Ha'osem alecha b'mechatat u'b'parat chatat patur midinei adam v'chayav b'dinei shamayim. If you remember the mechatat and the para aduma, right, all the stuff we use for the para aduma, you can't work, right, asher lo ala aleha ol, it says on the pasuk, it never worked, you can't work the animal, you can't use the mechatat for anything else. If you did, you're patur midinei adam and chayav bidinei shamayim. V'i amar et hezek she'eino nikar shmei hezek. If you do say that this is actual nezek, then bidinei adam nami lichayav, right? You should be chayav bidinei adam because you messed it up. Even though, again, you can't see the difference in the water or in the para just because you worked it. So it's, again, it's hezek she'eino nikar, and it sounds like you're patur bidinei adam. So it sounds like it's not nezek. Again, against Chizkiah. So now, who motiv la v'hum mefarik la? He asked the question, but he's going to answer up his own question. It's a case of parashich nisa l'rivka amanat shetinak b'tidosh, or mechatat sheshakal behem mishkolo. Both are cases where you originally put the para there, okay, you put him into the area where all the parot are, in order that it get that nursed from its own mother. In other words, usually they were kept separate from everyone, so that they wouldn't accidentally work them. Here you put it in there so that it would nurse from its own mother, and then also it would do the harisha, okay, the work in the field. But the real point was really for it to be with its mother, and it kind of ended up, right, it was also that you wanted it to be, but you didn't really do any act. When you put it in the rivka in the beginning, it was really so that it would nurse, and therefore you shouldn't be, that's why you're patur b'dinei adam. It's not considered that you really worked it. or mechatat shekabehem mishkalot. This is different interpretations why this would be pater. But what happens when you do a mishkolet, right? You use the water, you put it on one side of the muznaim, right? And then you're going to put the other item on the other side. Now, when you put it on the muznaim, you haven't actually done any work with it. You've just stuck it on the muznaim. You could have stuck it on the table. You could have, right? You happen to have stuck it on the muznaim. After that, once you put the mishkolet on the other side, so it turns out it got used, right? It's the same thing. You put the animal in the rivka first to nurse. Then, because it was in the rivka already, it got used. But the idea is that when you first put it there, you didn't actually do anything wrong. The wrongdoing came down the road. So therefore, it should be allowed. And that's why, in this case, you're patur b'dinei adam. But if you used it in a regular way and just took it to thresh, or you used it for something else immediately, then you'd be chayav. Right. It's a little tricky how exactly to view this. It sounds a little like Davar Shenu Mitkaven, right? Rashi says they actually call this grama. It's grama. It's not Davar Shenu Mitkaven, it's grama. Because you put it in the rivka, so then that caused it to end up getting threshed. Because you put it on the mashkolet, it caused it. It's like a gramophone, right? All these things they use in hospitals, right? So, or a pen that doesn't, right? You don't see the ink right away. The action isn't happening right after you do it, so it's grama. So that's called grama benizikin, and we're usually more mekel on a grama case. So now, the Hama Rabba, but wait a minute, we have a problem with this. Doesn't Rabba say, mechatat sheshakal behem mishkolot ksheira? If you're shokel mishkolot with the mechatat, you're ksheira legamre. And here, what did we say? You're chayav b'dinei adam. So, I'm sorry, you're patur b'dinei adam, but you're chayav b'dinei shamayim. And this says it's ksheira legamre. So what are the answer? Lo kashya, ha b'gufan, ha b'kenegdan. Okay, there's a bunch of different interpretations here. I'll give you one. If you actually use the water itself to measure, there's different ways you can measure with water. One is you can put it on a mishkolet, that's what we said. In that case, you'll actually, according to, anyway, this explanation, there's different explanations, but I'm going to give you one. You'd be totally patur. But and the water's fine. But if you put something in, let's say your water measures up exactly a cup, and then you put something in the water, and the water level goes up, right? You can measure volume that way. You can see by how much did the water level go up, and then you know the volume of the item you put in the water. So that's bigufan. If you actually use the water itself to measure it, then it's going to be chayav b'dinei shamayim. But when you put it on one side of the mishkolet and you use kinegdan on the mishkolet, then you're going to be patur. Then it's kasher legamre. Okay, that's one explanation. There's other ones also, but we'll stick with this one. So then they say, wait a minute. But bigufan maaseka avid behu. Vi ezek she'en onikar shmei hezek bedine adam nami lichayev. But how could you say that bigufan, you're only chayav b'dinei shamayim, but not b'dinei adam? If you actually use the goof of the mayim itself, you should be chayav, and you hold. The hezek she'en onikar is hezek, so you've actually been mazik that water, and you should be chayav even b'dinei adam. So therefore, that's not a good answer. So what did they say? Because they have to find something that would be chayav b'dinei shamayim, but patur b'dinei adam, and that one doesn't work so well. So what are the answer? Ella, edi b'kenegdan. Both of them are b'kenegdan. And that's not the issue here. What's the issue? V'lo kashya, hada asich da'ate, hada lo asich da'ate. The mechatat, you had to always have da'at on them. It's like the shmura matzah. You have to always have your head that you're using them for the mechatat. And what they're saying is, in one of the cases, Rabbi says it's ksheira, it's because even when you use it to measure kenegdan on this mishkolet, so you always had in mind that it was mechatat. In the other case, where it says you're chayav b'dinei shamayim, it's when while you were using it as a mishkolet, you forgot for a minute that this water was mechatat. You were mesich dat, and that caused it to be messed up. And that's why you're chayav, but only b'dinei shamayim and not b'dinei adam. Okay, that was a side thing. Okay, but again, that was a question to ask on Chizkia, and in the end we answer it up. Matib Rav Papa, another question on Chizkia. Gazal matbea v'nifsal. Let's say you steal a matbea, and then something happens to the matbea. Okay, different things that can happen to a matbea. It became, Rashi says, pisaltola malchut. In other words, maybe you made a nick in it, and now it doesn't work anymore, or something happens to it that it's no longer usable. Truma v'nitmet. Okay, oh, right, that's what it means, pisaltola malchut. Sorry. The malchut decided that this coin is no longer a valid coin. Okay, let's say they changed the currency in the meantime, right? And that currency is no longer worth anything. Okay, let's say they change the currency and that coin is like no longer a good coin. Truma, you stole truma, vinitmet. And now it becomes tameh. Chametz, you stole chametz, va'avar alav ha-pesach. And then you didn't sell it when Pesach came, right? It's chametz shavar alav ha-pesach. Now what happens to all these things? They're forbidden now, right? If you go to return that item, right? Let's say you stole it, you have to return the lost item. If you return that item, you're now returning something that's worth nothing. You follow? But it looks exactly the same as it looked before, so it's hezek shein onikar. So what do we say? Omer lo, he says to him, Harisha chalafanecha. You're allowed to return the item and say, look, it's your tough luck, right? This is very similar to what we learned on in Tuesday's class, after class, right? For those who are there, right? It's the same thing. Harisha chalafanecha, if you rent the donkey, and then the donkey gets blinded on the way, or gets taken by the king, and you want to say, basically, okay, give me another chamor to rent. And the guy says to you, it's your tough luck. I didn't, right? It happened to you when it was in your property. Not my fault. So that's what the Gazlan says. He says, the fact that now it's no longer worth anything, that's your tough luck, right? This is yours. I stole it from you. I'm giving it back to you exactly what I took from you. So what if it actually, in actuality, is different? So now, what does this prove? Iyamart hezek she'eno nikar shmei hezek hai gazlan hu mamona ma'alya ba'ya shlume, right? This guy stole it. He has to pay back the money he stole. He can't pay back with a useless item, right? If you're going to say that hezek is hezek, so it must be the hezek she'eno nikar is not hezek. And this one, they actually say tiyuvta. This one we can't answer up. This seems to be a good proof that hezek she'eno nikar is not considered damages, because if it was, the gazlan would actually have to pay the real value. Now they're going to say, we think that this is a machloket tana'im. Okay, it's not just Chizkiyah and Rabbi Yochanan that are arguing about hezek she'eno nikar shmei hezek, but actually the tana'im argue about it. Where do we see this? Lema ketanai, hamitameh v'hamidameh v'hamenaseh, those are exactly our cases. Echad shogeg v'echad mezi chayav, divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says, both shogeg and both mezid, you're chayav. Obviously, why does he say you're chayav? Because he thinks hezek she'eno nikar is hezek, and he doesn't have the tikkun olam issue that our Mishnah brings up. Rabbi Yehuda omer, b'shogeg patur b'mezid chayav. Rabbi Yehuda says, you're only chayav if you did it b'mezid. So why would he be mechayav mezid? Sounds like because of tikkun olam, right? But mi'ikaradin, you're really not chayav. My la b'hakami palge, demar savar hezek she'eno nikar shmei hezek, umar savar lo shmei hezek. Okay, you can see this in the chart, the second chart on the page. So Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, no, that's not the machloket. Dekule alma hezek she'eno nikar lo shmei hezek. By the way, I don't know if you noticed this, I assume you did. The sugya is constantly leaning towards saying the hezek she'eno nikar isn't hezek, because it keeps bringing questions on Chizkiyah. Here, when they say, although that's not the machloket, what do they say? Everyone agrees that it's not hezek. Okay, v'hacha, what's their machloket then? B'kanso shogeg atu mezid kami palge. Demar savar kanso shogeg atu mezid. Umar savar lo kanso shogeg atu mezid. Do we forbid it in the shogeg case? Do we make you pay a knas in the shogeg case? That's what Rabbi Meir says. You have to pay shogeg just like mezid. Why? Because if we're going to say mezid is chayav, and that's really mikar adin, nothing's chayav. But we're going to make it forbidden for mezid so that people don't mess up other people's property. And then we're also going to make it forbidden for the shogeg, because if we don't make it forbidden, if we don't make you pay a knas for shogeg, people are going to think, since it's hezek she'eno nikar, and in general hezek she'eno nikar is not hezek, people are going to think that even b'mezid you'd be patur, and we don't want people to think that, so we're going to asur shogeg also. We're going to make you pay for shogeg just so that people don't think that you're also patur b'mezid. Okay. Now, and Rabbi Yehuda, who makes a chiluk between shogeg and mezid, doesn't think you need to make a knas for the shogeg because of the mezid. He thinks we can make a distinction. Shogeg, you don't have to pay mezid, you do have to pay. Okay, whether there's a real need to make a knas for shogeg atu mezid is a debate. Okay, but we don't have time, so we're going to leave it aside. Now we're going to say, forget about hezek she'eno nikar shmei hezek or not. Rabbi Meir here said, whether it's shogeg, whether it's mezid, the metame, the medameh, the menasech, you're chayav. Rabbi Yehuda says, the shogeg's patur, the mezid's chayav. Now we're going to bring a totally different case, and we're going to see that their opinions are flipped. Okay? Birami de Rabbi Meir at Rabbi Meir. Birami de Rabbi Yehuda at Rabbi Yehuda. We're going to bring a koshi of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yehuda. Ditanya. Hamevashel b'Shabbat. Let's say you cook on Shabbat. We all know it's forbidden to cook on Shabbat. What if you did? Okay, this is very relevant, by the way. If you accidentally, let's say you do something that's usher, and you end up cooking on Shabbat. Okay? This doesn't mean, right, you're not going to turn on your flame and start cooking, but let's say you do something on Shabbat that would be considered bishul, right? You put something in a kli rishon that you're not allowed to put in a kli rishon, or something like that. So what happens to the food? What's the status of the food? Hamebashel b'Shabbat. If you did it b'shogeg, yochal, you can eat it, no problem. It was shogeg, you can eat it even on Shabbat. B'mezid, lo yochal. If you did it b'mezid, you can never eat that food. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Okay, you can't eat. Rabbi Yehuda Omer. So first of all, what do you see here? Let's just stick with Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir distinguishes between shogeg and mezid. Where in our case, Rabbi Meir said shogeg mezid was all the same. You're chayaf no matter what. Rabbi Yehuda Omer b'shogeg yochal lemotzei Shabbat. You can eat it when only when Shabbat's over. Okay, because we're kones you for Shabbat itself. What do you see here? He's kones even in a shogeg situation, whereas in our case he wasn't. B'mezid lo yochal olamit. If you did it b'mezid, you can never eat this food. Okay, it's forbidden. Rabbi Yochan, here we're going to get a third shita, which isn't relevant for us, but it's interesting. Rabbi Yochan asanlar omer, b'shogeg yachel lemotzei Shabbat, la'acherim v'lo lo. We're kones you, particularly, you can never eat this food. But on motzei Shabbat, you can give it to somebody else. B'mezid lo yochal olamit, lo lo v'lo la'acherim. And if you did it b'mezid, you can't ever eat it, not you, not anybody else. Okay, so now, kasha de Rabbi Meir, de Rabbi Meir. Kasha de Rabbi Yehuda, de Rabbi Yehuda. So now let's start with Rabbi Meir. De Rabbi Meir, de Rabbi Meir, lo kasha. Why? Ki kanis b'durabanan, b'doraita lo kanis. They were only kones in situations durabanan. Why? We've seen this before. You want to protect the durabanans. We're worried more that people will not be concerned for durabanans, and therefore when it's a durabanan case, the mitameh, the menaseh, we're going to say, there you have to pay a knas, even if you did it b'shogeg. But when it's d'oraita, and people know that it's aser, so if you did it b'shogeg, b'seder, you did it b'shogeg, we're not going to kones you. Obviously, you knew you shouldn't have done it. You know, you realize now. So they say, wait a minute. V'hamenasech d'oraita hu? Isn't yeh nesach d'oraita? Isn't that avodah zara? Why are you saying that mitameh, mitameh, menasech are all d'rabanans? V'kakanis. So what do they say? Oh, well, that's mishum chumr d'avodah kochavim kanisle. That's so chamor that you have to put a knas on that because he did something so bad that even b'shogeg gets considered really bad. Okay, it's a better question than answer. Rabbi Yehuda lo kashya. Why doesn't Rabbi Yehuda contradict himself? Because he's going to say the exact opposite. Ki lo kanes b'durabanan b'doraita kanes. He's dafka not kones in the durabanan situation, our situation, the three cases we had. But b'doraita, he's dafka going to be kones because it's a higher level. It's d'oraita. So again, what do they say? V'hamenasech d'oraita v'lo kanes. But what about, right, what do we say? The menasech in our case, who's d'oraita, he's not d'rabanan. And yet, what does Rabbi Yehuda say? He's not kones. So what do they say? Mishum chumra d'avodat kochavim. Now they use it in the exact opposite. Mivdal b'dile minei. We know that people are so careful when it comes to avodah zara that if he did it b'shogeg, we're not going to kones him. He obviously didn't mean to, and it was b'shogeg, and we're not going to give him a knas. We know that now he realizes his mistake. He's not going to do it again, and you don't have to worry about it. Okay. So let's stop here, and now we're going to see tomorrow that there's another problem with Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Meir, because there's another case where he brings a d'oraita, and we're going to see by Shvi'it. And we're going to see that, or there's a case of Shabbat and Shvi'it. Someone who's noteh b'Shabbat, someone who's noteh b'Shvi'it, which are both asur mid'oraita, and yet he distinguishes between Shvi'it and Shabbat. So we're going to see that you can't just use this d'oraita, or maybe you can, we'll see what the answers are, but it's really true that he holds b'doraita lo kanis and b'durabanan kanis.